Hi everyone.
Hi.
Sarah and Megan back with you again for a new episode of Examining Eeyore. Woo. And we weren't away for 2 months this time.
No.
Sorry, 400 years.
Yeah.
That's how long it was.
Need to get it right.
Yeah. We were overwhelmed with the responses to our comeback podcast and we just didn't realise quite how many people missed us while we were away.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that.
Yes.
So this week we're actually going to take an idea that came in from one of our listeners a while back. You may recall we were asking for ideas on topics that we could cover, and Hannah B, who is one of our favourite listeners,
yes,
had an excellent idea that had actually crossed my mind about parent-child relationships in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that would be an interesting one to cover. So we'll try and do our best with that.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there were a lot of characters in Eeyore over the years. So many that we've probably forgotten about some of them whose parents actually showed up.
Yeah.
But we were trying to think of as many characters as we could where we actually saw their parents at some point and got a sense of their relationship with them. And also some of the characters who had their own children in the series and kind of how the relationships with them were and how they may possibly have been influenced by their own parental relationships,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an interesting topic. So not so much about the medicine this week as the personal relationships. So I guess we'll get stuck into it and see what we can come up with. And as always, if you have any more ideas for topics, do let us know. Because we're severely lacking in original ideas ourselves. No, not really. But yeah, we love to hear any ideas for what you'd like us to talk about, if possible.
Yeah.
So, I suppose we'll start with the kind of the original gang of characters and work our way through it.
Yeah.
Or, well, maybe not exactly chronologically, but as things occur to us.
Yeah.
Connections and stuff. So, let's start with my fave, Mark Green. Now, we met his parents in season 4.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't really get a sense of that till then.
No.
But it all kind of makes sense as it goes along. So Mark is an only child. And we kind of find out that he has moved around a lot with his parents.
Yeah.
So we don't actually know where he's from originally, because he's lived in like seemingly every state at some point. But yeah, we meet his parents when him and Doug go on a road trip to California in season 4, when Doug's father dies.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark kind of goes with him for like moral support. And they stop off at Mark's parents on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So his father, whose name is David, had a Navy career. And as a result, he and Mark kind of had a strained relationship for much of Mark's childhood. They weren't really close, and they never expressed any kind of emotion towards each other.
Yeah.
Mark was much closer to his mother. And he always believed that his dad cared more about his career than him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's quite bitter about that at first. So we get a sense of this when we meet his parents. We find out that he hasn't actually seen them in 18 months, which is kind of like, oh, well, you know, he has such a busy career himself and he barely sees his own daughter as it is.
Yeah.
So it's not really surprising, but
no.
Still. So his dad is not very well. He's, you know, he's got a really bad cough and everything from smoking. And Mark is kind of lecturing him about smoking, which is rich because we see him trying to quit at various times himself during the series.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of awkward between them and they're making small talk and it doesn't really go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So later in the season, he visits again, and this time it's to help his dad look after his mother, who now has dementia and some other health problems too. And they clash over whether she should be put in a Navy base hospital or a civilian hospital. So we see like Mark's issues with the Navy and everything coming out again here. And he also finds out from his mother that his parents didn't actually know each other that well at all when she found out she was pregnant with him.
Mm-hmm.
But she tells him that, like, when he was born and all, she loved him and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it's kind of, it kind of gives him a few insights that he wasn't aware of.
Definitely, yeah.
So then in season 6, Mark's mother dies, like, off screen.
Mm-hmm.
So his father ends up coming to Chicago to live with him. But we see his dad again. He comes to spend Thanksgiving with Mark and he meets Elizabeth for the first time.
Yeah.
And Rachel is there too. And it's all a bit awkward at first. But after a while, he and Elizabeth kind of form a really nice friendship almost.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really nice to see.
Yeah.
But what's particularly hilarious, and we'll get back to her in a minute, is that Elizabeth's mother comes to visit from England and she ends up having a fling with Mark's dad.
Yeah.
Which, like, horrifies Elizabeth, but Mark is really amused by it.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but I thought that was a really funny storyline.
Oh, yeah. It was funny, but at the same time I can totally understand why Elizabeth was freaked out, because if I was in that situation I'd be like, please, like, control yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly what she was like. And, like, she was really horrified when she found a pair of, like, men's underwear
mm-hmm.
in the flat, which belonged to Mark's father. So, like, that was a bit awkward.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, well, look, he's going back, well, she's going back to England soon, so, you know, let them have their fun while they can, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which they do. But mercifully, we don't see any of it. We see Elizabeth getting closer to him when eventually I think he kind of realizes after a while that this is a really good thing for Mark. He's got a really good relationship here.
Yeah.
Finally. After, like, Jen and everything, who his mother didn't seem to like.
Yeah.
Because I remember in one episode she made some comment about how Rachel has, like, the same sour expression as her mother, and Mark is like, you can't say that. But yeah, so we get the impression she never really took to her that much.
Yeah.
And then obviously Cynthia was with Mark when in those episodes, and that was a really dysfunctional relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like, finally he's got somebody nice.
Yeah.
But there's a really nice moment where he gives Elizabeth a necklace that belonged to Mark's mother.
Yeah.
But she's kind of overwhelmed, and I think she feels like she doesn't really deserve it, so she tells Mark to give it to Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Which he does. But I think that is a gesture that shows he's kind of giving his approval.
Yeah.
And hoping that this goes further.
Definitely, yeah.
Which it does. So basically while David is living with them, Mark finds out that he's actually got terminal lung cancer, and he just didn't tell him.
Mm.
So this really makes him realize he hasn't got much time left.
Yeah.
So he kind of sets up a bed and stuff at home and takes time off work to care for him, and that's when they really start to bond themselves.
Yeah.
So for the first time in both their lives, they actually start to tell each other how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas Mark always thought that David didn't care, like, that he cared more about his career, he then finds out that he actually turned down the chance to become an admiral so that he could come home and help Mark out with a bully.
Mm-hmm.
When he was being bullied at school. And that's, like, really touching.
It is, yeah.
And he just never said anything about that before. And finally, he's realizing he did actually care in his own way.
Yeah.
He just didn't feel, he didn't really know how to communicate with him.
How to show it, yeah.
And we find out later on as well that Mark actually tells Rachel eventually that he used to act out a lot when he was a teenager to deliberately try and upset his dad and do, like, the opposite of what he thought he wanted him to do.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us can relate to that. You know, there's so many people have done that as teenagers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Deliberately gone against what their parents wanted.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about. I've done no such thing.
No, of course not. So he also finds out, you know, when his father is at his most vulnerable point and he's kind of having to wash him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He tells him, you know, I used to do this for you when you were a baby and stuff. And it's like Mark had no idea that his dad was that hands-on with him.
Yeah.
And it's just that really was touching, because there's something about people being that vulnerable and they're saying things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you're trying not to cry yourself.
Yeah, it's very emotional.
Yeah. And like, I will admit that when I first saw this episode, I literally was in tears. Just before he dies, he tells Mark that he loves him and he says he loves him too. And then he's crying himself and he says, "The day you became a doctor was the proudest day of my life."
Aww.
And it's just so like...
sweet.
Yeah. And that was so well acted. Like, and they were really crying themselves. And I was like, I wonder if that is genuinely that emotional for the actors, that it's not even fake, you know? So that was just a really emotional scene. And yeah, I just thought it was... they had a nice kind of connection.
Yeah.
During that whole storyline.
Good chemistry.
Yeah, good chemistry. And I think it brings Elizabeth and Mark closer together as well, because then he's grieving for all of that and she has to kind of help him through it.
Yeah.
So that's Mark's parents. So Mark obviously has his own kids as well. There's Rachel, obviously, who's who is like 5 when the series starts. And like we said, he hasn't really spent nearly enough time with her.
Yeah.
Especially after the divorce. And I think he kind of feels guilty about that.
Yeah.
So he struggles with her living so far away from him. And then when she later gets into her teens, he has all kinds of problems with her behaviour and stuff like that. She starts acting out herself and like smoking and even taking drugs after she basically has a fight with her mother and comes to live with Mark and Elizabeth, who now have a baby themselves. So then she puts her sister Ella's life in danger when she accidentally swallows drugs that she has left lying around. So thankfully she's okay, but this kind of rips them apart for a while.
Definitely.
And they eventually manage to reconnect in Hawaii before Mark dies, because it's like he's so worried about how she's going to turn out. And he has this conversation with her in his last episode where he says, you know, I'm not going to be around in a year's time, so who's going to make sure that you're okay and you don't get yourself killed? Like,
yeah.
And it's just really so, oh, such an emotionally wrenching storyline, but that things like that just make it worse.
Yeah.
And eventually Elizabeth kind of talks to her and she, you know, reminds her, like, you need to stop acting like this because he's not going to be around much longer. You need to patch things up with him. So she kind of cops on to herself and they do sort things out before he dies. And then also, I think with Ella, he feels when she's born, he feels like he kind of has a second chance.
Yeah.
To do all this, and he's making the most of what little time he has with her because he knows that she won't remember him when she gets older. And for me, I've said it so many times, but that is one of the most heartbreaking things about that storyline, is knowing that there's a baby involved and she won't remember him. It's just horrible. Like,
it's so sad.
Yeah. There was actually an interesting theory during that whole storyline with Rachel and the drugs. People thought, you know, about Elizabeth's handling of it, because Elizabeth was like understandably furious.
Yeah.
And she wanted him to throw Rachel out of the house, and she was just trying to protect her own child, and Mark felt almost like she was making him choose between them.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there are some who feel like she had the right reaction and he wasn't taking responsibility because he felt so guilty about missing out on so much time with Rachel that he was reluctant to punish her too much.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think of that. Like, was Elizabeth right to react so strongly?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah.
You know, like, her child's life was in danger. Yeah. So.
And she wanted him to hand her into the police and he wouldn't. He said, like, he could take care of it himself, but he wasn't really facing up to the problem and properly taking care of it.
Yeah.
It's weird because on the one hand, I feel bad because he was caught in the middle. These are both his children and he loves them. But it's like something did have to be done about her behaviour, and it went on too long and obviously reached a point where it was like that serious. you know, even though things worked out in the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought that was an interesting aspect of it. So in terms of the connection between his parents and then his, the way he parented his own children, I don't know, it's almost, it's interesting, I think, that he thought his father cared more about his career. And yet there was a risk that Rachel could have thought that about him.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't around enough.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting connection.
Yeah. I think it's the most notable one.
Yeah. I mean, he did obviously care a lot because he felt so much guilt over it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he loved his job so much as well. So, yeah, it's an interesting story. So I guess moving on to Elizabeth,
mm-hmm.
seeing as how she's connected to all this. Elizabeth comes from a family of surgeons.
Yeah.
So like her grandfather was a surgeon, her father's a surgeon. And she says early on that because there were no boys in the family, she was the one who kind of had to carry that on.
Yeah.
So her father, his name is Charles. He's a consultant surgeon at a hospital in London. And her mother, Isabel, is an astrophysicist. And she has quite a difficult relationship with her.
Yeah.
A similar situation to Mark and his father. She feels that her mother didn't spend enough time with her when she was little.
Yeah.
And she says that she was raised by nannies and boarding schools.
Mm-hmm.
So she has this whole confrontation with her mother early on. So we get a glimpse pretty much straight away into her kind of background. So her relationship with her father is better. And her parents are actually divorced, so they're not on good terms with each other either.
Mm.
So that kind of makes it a bit more difficult. But just on a side note, I love Elizabeth's mother so much. She's played by an actress called Judy Parfitt. And a lot of you who watch Called the Midwife may be aware of her. She plays the nun, Sister Monica Joan, and she's so eccentric. And mm-hmm. probably the best thing about Called the Midwife, she's so funny. And I think she's just a brilliant actress. And
yeah.
I think of all the parents who were in ER, she stands out to me as being particularly entertaining.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish that she'd been in it more.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a point where we just didn't see her again. Like,
yeah.
And I think she added a lot to the show. I really liked her.
Yeah.
Because she's such a good actress.
Yeah. No, I really liked her too.
Yeah. There's actually an interesting blooper of when she's visiting the hospital and she says, Romano is, you know, there too. And he's like sucking up to her like, oh, it's so good to meet you and all this stuff. And she tells him like, I'm here for a series of lectures. But in the blooper, she says, I'm here for a series of lectures. And there's a big pause and she's forgotten her line. And she's like, and what are they? It's just really funny.
I remember that one. Yeah.
It's just funny. So as we said, she has the little fling with Mark's father.
Yes.
And we see her again then when Elizabeth and Mark are getting married, and Elizabeth's parents are in the room together like for the first time in probably quite a long time.
Yeah.
So they're kind of, you know, Elizabeth is super stressed because Mark is nowhere to be seen. He's held up in traffic and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents are probably stressing her out a bit.
Yeah.
But then she kind of has, you know, a moment with the two of them where they kind of almost unite to calm her down.
Yeah.
She's like expressing all her fears about, because Mark has had a brain tumor at this point and
mm-hmm.
has had surgery, which was successful. But she's so afraid of it coming back, and she's really heavily pregnant at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so worried that he won't be around to bring up their child.
Yeah.
And so her parents kind of come together and try to ease her fears about it, which I thought was a really nice moment.
Yeah, it was.
For once, like, the two of them are putting her first and being good parents in that situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We meet her parents for the last time when she's in London after Mark dies. She's kind of working at her father's hospital.
Yeah.
And she's trying to figure out, I think she's just trying to escape everything.
Yeah.
Because there's too many memories in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last time we see her parents, when they're kind of helping her come to the decision that she actually needs to go back.
Yeah.
And face things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Elizabeth lasted a couple more seasons after that, but I wish we could have seen her parents again, because I think I liked them both.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
So obviously Elizabeth has Ella in season 7, and after Mark dies in season 8, she has to bring her up by herself.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think is interesting is that her perspective on her own mother's parenting skills changes a bit after she has her own child.
Yeah.
And she kind of realizes that she has to accept help from a nanny.
Yeah.
Especially after Mark is gone and with her working so much and having such a demanding job. So she gets a bit more, you know, she realizes that things are a bit more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
So she kind of understands a bit more why her mother possibly did what she did.
Mm-hmm.
So then obviously she has a stepmother relationship with Rachel, which we said is strained because of her behavior. And I think at first she tries her best to, you know, connect with her, but she's not getting a lot back from her except attitude,
which makes it hard.
Yeah. And then obviously after the whole thing with Ella and the drugs, she's very, you know, like their relationship breaks down, but she does manage to forgive her. Because I think she kind of realizes after a while that what she needs is help from somebody.
Yeah.
Because she must feel very alone. I mean, she's lashing out at Mark, and she's probably part of that is because he's sick and she feels like he's leaving her again.
Yeah.
And obviously she hasn't had an easy relationship with her mother either.
Yeah.
Because she feels over the years that she has been too focused on her job.
Mm-hmm.
So Elizabeth probably recognizes she needs something, you know.
Yeah.
So after Mark dies, she tells Rachel that she can come and visit Ella whenever she wants because she's her sister. So that's the real moment of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And we do see them after that. Rachel comes back to look for Elizabeth's help when she's looking for like birth control and stuff.
Yeah.
She doesn't feel like she can go to her mother, so she comes to Elizabeth, who writes her like a prescription. And then, of course, in the very last episode, when Rachel is becoming a doctor, we find out that Elizabeth has actually managed to get a reduction in tuition fees for her because she now has a teaching position.
Yeah.
And so we see that they still have that relationship, which I think is nice after everything.
Definitely, yeah.
So she feels like she still has that. They both have that connection to Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with Ella as well.
Yeah.
So it's a nice setup in the end.
Definitely.
Now, Doug Ross.
Here we go.
Yeah, we have talked about this before.
Yeah.
In detail. So we know that Doug resents his father, Ray, for never being there during his childhood. Mm-hmm. We can see a pattern here with that.
Yeah.
So Doug was pretty much raised by his mother because his dad was really like, you know, he had lots of affairs and everything and he just wasn't there and he was constantly letting him down.
Yeah.
So we see that when his dad turns up, you know, we see Doug letting his guard down with him because they have tickets to go to a game together and stuff. Mm. But then his dad stands him up and that's like the last time he lets him in to his life, because we can see that every time he starts to trust him,
he gets let down.
Yeah, he's just let down. And we've spoken about this before, but ironically, Doug does not want to end up like his dad, but he ends up with commitment issues of his own with relationships. We only see his mother once.
Mm.
I think, you know, when he's talking to her about the fact that his dad has got in contact with him.
Yeah.
So that's the only time we see her, but they're obviously really close. So later on, as we said, Doug has an affair with his dad's girlfriend. And once again, I put in my notes, ew. But he ends things when they become too complicated, which, of course, is quite a pattern with Doug.
Yeah.
Early on in Eeyore. So as we said, Doug's father dies in season 4, hence the road trip with Mark.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out a lot about the relationship and just the resentment he has. He's torn between resentment and love for his dad because he starts watch home videos and look at photographs and everything.
Yeah.
And he remembers the good times that he had with him, because when he was around, obviously he looked up to him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a really revealing moment where they're scattering his ashes and Doug says, "I hated him, but I loved him."
Mm.
Which, you know, again, I'd say a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah.
Because that's why he was hurt so much by him, because he loved him.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't care, then he wouldn't. It wouldn't have bothered him.
Exactly,
obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, he and Mark actually have an argument during that episode where Mark is, you know, complaining about his own relationship with his dad, and Doug kind of says, "Well, at least your dad was here during your childhood, you know, he was there for all the important stuff. Mine wasn't, that kind of thing. So at least you have a dad." So it's kind of food for thought.
Mm.
Hence the name of the episode, which is Fathers and Sons. So, yeah, we get a good insight into that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
And then Doug with his own children. Now, he mentions in season one that he has a son. He says this like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
He says that he's 8 years old, but he's never met him and he doesn't even know what his name is.
Yeah.
But he doesn't elaborate on that. But then it's like never mentioned again.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things of, did the writers just forget that they ever mentioned it?
Yeah.
Or decide not to pursue it?
Yeah.
One of those weird things.
It's a weird one.
Yeah. So then you're thinking like, well, what's the issue there? We don't know, but it's like, we see how good Doug is as a pediatrician. He obviously connects very well with children and does his best for them. And you think, well, he doesn't even see his own son and doesn't know what his name is.
Yeah.
So that's a thing that was never resolved, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah.
And then later on, of course, he and Carol get together properly and they start talking about actually having a baby themselves. But of course, things get really complicated. Doug resigns from his job for reasons that we'll go into in detail later. And Carol finds out afterwards that she's pregnant with twins.
Mm-hmm.
So she has the twins. And, you know, it's kind of referred to that Doug has come to visit them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then finally, when Carol realizes that Doug is everything she's ever wanted and she can't settle for anyone else, she goes to Seattle and there's a big happy reunion and stuff. So they appear again in the final season and they're still together.
Yeah.
But we don't see their twins at this point, which kind of annoyed a lot of people. They're like, I'd love to see what Doug was like with the twins.
Yeah.
But presumably, you know, things worked out for the best.
Yeah.
So against all the odds, he turned himself around and became a good family man. So I suppose it's a happy ending for everybody. Now, Carol, obviously, we met Carol's mother a few times. She's Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of have a complicated relationship as well.
Yes.
Because we actually meet Carol's mother when she is recovering after her suicide attempt and Doug eventually goes to visit her.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Carol's mother doesn't approve of him.
Yeah.
And she's probably a bit overprotective in a way, because she's one of these people who seems to be quite critical of her without probably meaning to be.
Yeah.
But that's where the difficulties come in.
Yeah.
So there's one conversation where, you know, Carol kind of implies that she feels like her mother doesn't have enough faith in her because it's like, you never finish anything, you know, the whole thing where Carol was considering becoming a doctor.
Yeah.
And then Carol was like, well, I became a nurse, didn't I? I finished that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she almost feels like her mother doesn't think that's good enough.
Yeah.
Even though she says it is.
Yeah.
But there's, again, a bit of miscommunication there.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I think is so realistic in most parent-child relationships at some point.
Oh, yeah.
So I like the fact that they showed that with a lot of characters.
Yeah.
And then Carol's father apparently died when she was little and it's implied that they had a close relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's not something that's mentioned too much. So it's another thing that we don't know an awful lot about. Right. So Benton, Peter Benton. Again, we've dived into a little bit of this. So his father has died some years before we actually meet the characters in season one.
Yeah.
But from the beginning, the storyline with his mother is quite prominent because as we've said, she has dementia, and his sister Jackie and her husband have been looking after her. And there's a lot of tension about the fact that he hasn't been pitching in and pulling his weight. So
once again, a whole thing of a character being too busy with their job and it's causing problems.
Yeah, that's exactly.
A really big recurring theme.
Yes. And it's awkward because he clearly loves his mother and she adores him from the interactions that we see. And we can, you know, we get the impression that she was like prouder than anybody that her son became a surgeon and everything. And but he just is so busy with his career and proving things to himself and to other people that he just doesn't seem to realise the full extent of the situation.
Yeah.
So he's saying, you know, he'll put in some hours, look after her, do his bit, but it's just not working.
No.
He's just constantly got his mind on the hospital and the surgeries that he should be present for to prove things to people that he can do it and stuff. Yeah. So he hires, this is where Jeannie comes into it. She is hired to care for his mother for a certain number of hours per week before she ends up working at the hospital. And his mother ends up having a fall when he is there. He was like asleep on the couch, I think. And that's a real eye opener for him. He realizes then how serious things really are.
Yeah.
So she ends up going into a care home, but she dies pretty much after that at the end of the season. And that, I think, is the first time we really see him vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, he cries about it and Jeannie's obviously there for him and that begins their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's really season one where Benton loses his mother and that's all we see of his, the dynamic with his parents. But it's really eye-opening about his character particularly and why he is the way he is. Driven and everything.
Yeah.
But he regrets it then. He's torn between that and family life.
Mm-hmm.
And we do see that again with his own son, Rhys, who is born in season three.
Yeah.
So this was the whole thing. He had a fling with Carla, Rhys's mother. She's pregnant then. And we kind of see his journey towards actually being a parent.
Yeah.
And it really softens him for the first time and gives him something else to think about besides his career.
Mm-hmm.
So repeatedly we see him put Rhys's needs above his, especially because we find out then that he's deaf.
Yeah.
So that's something that Benton struggles to accept for a while, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he can take things on and like he's like, oh, he can get implants and stuff, and the doctors are kind of like, that may not be the best course of action.
Yeah.
Rather than accepting that he can just learn sign language and they can learn to communicate with him that way, that might be the best option for him.
Yeah.
So it takes him a while to come round to that, but then eventually he accepts it.
Mm-hmm.
But we do see that he is constantly doing everything he can to help him.
Yeah.
And he even, there's one episode where he goes to the south to do some work in a clinic.
Yeah.
And that's literally to earn some extra money so that he can pay for Rhys's treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So basically later on, Carla dies in an accident.
Yeah.
And long story short, he eventually finds out that he's not Rhys's biological father.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting because early on, when Carla told him that she was pregnant, he actually flat out asks her, is the baby mine? And she gets really offended. And she's like, how many people do you think I've been with?
Yeah.
Of course it's yours. And then it turns out she later tells him out of spite that, well, he may not be yours after all.
Yeah.
I was with somebody else.
Yeah.
So it turns out to be true. He's not his biological father. This is revealed during the custody fight with Carla's husband. But nonetheless, Peter still wins custody of Rhys because he has been his father through all this.
Yeah.
And Rhys, you know, to him, he's his father. So that's it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that despite all of this, his feelings about him don't change one bit.
Yeah.
He's always been convinced, you know, he is mine. I was there when he was born and that's it.
Yeah.
So we really see how, you know, he is the most important thing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he even has to give up his job and take one with more sociable hours in order to, you know, to be awarded custody of him, to prove that he will put him first.
Mm-hmm.
And probably for the first time ever, he is willing to do that.
Yeah.
He puts Reese first and says, I don't care. You know, I'll take whatever job I have to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And that ultimately leads to his exit from the show.
Yeah.
But it just shows, I think, how much he grew in all those years.
Definitely,
from being so career-driven to being, well, my son is the most important thing in my life and I'd give up anything for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a really nice character journey.
Definitely, yeah.
It's really, like, this is probably the first time I've even thought about it like that, but he really did almost come full circle.
Yeah.
We saw a complete change in his attitude.
Yeah.
Because of that little boy, which is nice. So, Carter. Now, Carter is really rich, as we find out after a while. He comes from a really rich family.
Yeah.
Which, you know, leads to a whole lot of complicated feelings about money for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, his parents, who we don't actually meet for quite a few seasons, but we hear all about them.
Yeah.
They have always been baffled by his medical career, and the whole time he was studying they were thinking, you know, is this just a fad?
Yeah.
They just assumed he would, you know, deal with this particular fad and then decide to take over the family business, which is what they had in mind for him all along.
Yeah.
But he's not willing to do that because it takes him a long time to convince them that he actually loves being a doctor. This is what he has always wanted to do. And it's not just something to occupy his time until he can take over. So he has a very cold relationship with his mother.
Yeah.
Who, ever since his brother died when they were children, she has like shown no emotion towards him.
Yeah.
She just won't open up about it. Eventually she talks to him about it and she does break down then,
mm-hmm.
and tells him that, you know, tells him how much it affected her.
Yeah.
And they're able to be honest with each other. But this is after his parents separate, and we find out his brother has a lot to do with that. Even his father feels that she can't open up about what happened, and he doesn't even feel able to mention him.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of drives a wedge between them, which is quite sad.
Yeah.
So Carter's kind of caught in the middle of all this all the time, and while sometimes I think coming from a rich family seems to, you know, it makes him a bit selfish in some areas, or he doesn't really understand what it's like for people who don't have that.
Yeah.
He also feels like it's a burden, and I feel sorry for him during those moments because he just wants to be like everybody else there.
Yeah.
But like we see the impact early on because he basically tells Kerry, I don't need to be paid, it's fine. You know, he has his fund and everything, his inheritance, and he doesn't need to be paid for his work. And she kind of thinks, oh, well, that's unusual, but okay. It's like the kind of realization for the other characters that, wow, this guy does not come from a similar background to us.
No.
He doesn't even need to be paid.
But also it shows that he's not just doing it for money. He genuinely wants to do the work.
Yeah, and make a difference.
Yeah.
To people's lives. So
there's two sides to that, you know. Mm.
But there's a kind of innocence about him at that stage when he's just qualifying, you know. And he's like, well, of course I don't need to be paid. It never even crossed his mind.
Yeah.
So, but then of course later on, he kind of cuts ties and says, you know, I don't want this money.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to make my own way. And then suddenly he realises he has to be paid. But yeah, as time goes on, we see him get more and more defiant, you know, and say, I didn't want to be born into this, and this is not the life I want. It's not all about money, and I just want to treat my patients. And I think when he goes to Africa, I think it's a real eye-opener.
Yeah.
He sees that totally opposite environment where nobody has any money, and often they can't they don't have the right facilities to treat people, and yeah. they're fighting for everything they can get mm-hmm. for their patients. And I think that really changed him in a way.
Yeah.
Like, he really grew as a doctor over the course of that show. And I think the whole Africa thing had a lot to do with it. But at the same time, like, being rich has its benefits. Like, when his yeah. grandmother is able to help Carol set up her clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to, like, parenting himself, this is a very complicated thing, because Carter's relationships during the show, oh, he suffered a lot.
We mentioned this before.
Yeah,
I
we
think.
Did.
Yeah.
Especially with Abby. There's, you know, this whole thing of he wanted her to change for him and it just wasn't working. And
mm-hmm.
But eventually he meets Kem, who is, like, an AIDS worker in Africa. And she was not a very popular character with a lot of people. They thought he could do better and she didn't treat him very well. But anyway, she gets pregnant quite quickly, so their relationship develops, like, very fast.
Yeah.
And there's always this conflict about, you know, will she come back to Chicago and live with him there, or are they going to stay in Africa? But eventually their son is stillborn, which is a really sad storyline.
Yeah.
And I think he loved the idea so much of having a child and having that responsibility, but it just didn't happen for him.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously their relationship breaks down over that, and it's very complicated over the next few seasons as to whether they get back together and manage to be happy or not.
Yeah.
But I think it was a really sad thing that we didn't get to see it happen for him.
Yeah.
That this tragedy was always hanging over him.
Yeah.
But obviously he sets up his own foundation eventually and names it after the baby. So that's always in the back of his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just sad. There's even in the last episode when they all meet up and are talking about how their lives have been, they're talking about their kids and stuff, and he just kind of sits there quietly, you know, and it's like he's not able to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because there's always this thing of he lost his child.
Yeah.
And it's just a very sad storyline.
Yeah, definitely.
Susan Lewis. Now, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Basically, Susan's parents are useless. Quite frankly, they're useless.
Just get to the point, like.
Yeah. I mean, we see them briefly, you know, and, like, they just don't seem to care.
No.
And obviously her sister Chloe is in it, is in the show, and we've talked about how crazy that situation is.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Chloe is Susan's older sister, it's like Susan is the older sister, because
yeah.
she's always the one who bails her out.
Yeah.
And she has to help her when her parents are nowhere to be seen. They won't take responsibility.
Yeah.
And I just, like, when Chloe had the baby, Susie, her mother was like, well, no, she can't stay with us, you know. So she ends up living with Susan. Again, it's Chloe's problems become her problems.
Yeah. Because the parents just don't want
yeah.
to be involved.
It's like, well, we're too busy with our lives. And it's like, look, you guys are the parents. You need to take responsibility for your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you
and
know,
it's like, is Susan not busy? She's literally a doctor.
Yeah. So obviously Susan, and there is a moment where Susan kind of marvels at how she ended up in this career when her parents were next to useless, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, she is almost a parent to her sister as
yeah.
well as her niece.
Yeah.
And she bonds with Susie, as we said, who ends up back with Chloe. And obviously Susan leaves the show to be nearer to them.
Mm-hmm.
But then she comes back in season 8. And it's weird. I kind of have a problem with how Susan's character almost changed a bit when she came back. It's like the writers forgot certain things about how she was.
Mm-hmm.
So Susan ends up marrying Chuck, the flight nurse, and they have a baby boy who they call Cosmo. dodgy name. But basically, Susan becomes chief of emergency medicine,
yeah.
the role that Kerry used to have.
Yeah.
And who would have imagined that to begin with,
mm-hmm.
that she would take that on? But so basically, Chuck is at home with the baby most of the time and is doing a lot of the practical care, and Susan kind of says, oh yeah, you know, that's fine, Chuck's really maternal, you know, making jokes about that.
Mm.
But it's almost like, and you're not, considering what happened with Susie all yeah. those years before, it's like, it just, it's something's different now.
Yeah.
When she then has her own child, it's like the writers almost forgot that she was, you know, she had this situation with a baby before.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just has always bothered me for some reason. It wasn't explored very well, I didn't yeah. think. Like, you don't even see the baby after that, really.
Yeah,
you know,
it's kind of weird.
And then she just left the show abruptly again. So it's one of those things that was a bit odd, I thought. There are quite a few others whose parents we meet over the years. But I think another major character was Abby.
Definitely.
There is a lot to say there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Abby comes into the show in season 6. She's... You know, she's a medical student and she's working as a nurse as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we meet her mother, Maggie, in season 7, who, of course, is played by Sally Field.
I love her.
One of the most memorable ER guest stars ever.
Yeah.
And she was a recurring character from then on. But she did win an award, like, for playing that character. Yeah. And I think rightly so.
Oh, she's incredible. Brilliant. Yeah.
Incredible. So she turns up and we are straight into that storyline. It is very obvious that something is not right here.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, Abby, your mother is here. And she's like, that's not my mother. She's even denying it.
Mm.
And you're like, what's going on here? She doesn't want to be associated with her. It turns out her mother's bipolar and she's having a manic episode when she turns up.
Yeah.
And straight away we see what's going on here. So Abby has to help her out yet again, as we discover. Abby's father left when she was young, and so it kind of fell to her to protect her brother Eric from the fallout of everything. And things were very complicated because their mother was just sick for a lot of that time, and
yeah.
she either wasn't taking her medication, or, you know, things were just very difficult for them.
Yeah.
And then later on, Eric himself is diagnosed with bipolar, so Abby has even more to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And she almost feels guilty, like she didn't protect him enough.
Mm.
So she's blaming herself for that. She's constantly torn between wanting to help her mother and just being angry at her for not taking her medication and letting her life spiral out of control.
Mm.
So it's impacted on her own life as well. She has major trust issues
yeah.
with people. She never lets her guard down too much. Even when she's with Luca and then Carter and then Luca again later on. But she also has problems with alcohol and she's kind of reluctant to admit to it
yeah.
for a lot of the time. And things get really bad later on. But she also doesn't think that she wants to have children because she's terrified that they'll end up having bipolar as well.
Yeah.
So she probably secretly fears that she will end up like her mother herself.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually Abby settles into a happy relationship with Luca and they do have a son called Joe. But when she finds out she's pregnant, she's initially reluctant because of the fears that we mentioned. But Luca and her talk about it and they then decide to keep the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So she is able to overcome some of those issues because then, you know, she loves her son and she realises things will be okay.
Yeah.
They, you know, they'll be good parents to him and he'll be fine. And she even ends up reconciling with Maggie, who comes back, is taking her medication properly, so she's doing well. And she's even able to help Abby out with Joe.
Mm.
And she's there for her when he's born prematurely.
Yeah.
So she is being the parent in that situation like she should have before.
Yeah.
And is able to be there for Abby when she's going through a difficult time.
Yeah.
So it was a happy ending for Abby, but during the course of that storyline, things got very complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, Maura Tierney actually said in an interview that the moment Sally Field turned up, you learned so much about Abby's character. Everything became clear and you realised, oh, that's why she's the way she is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything was explained by the relationship with her mother.
Yeah.
Every reason that Abby had all these issues herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very grateful, I think, to have that whole storyline with her. And yeah, like we said, she played it so well.
Yeah.
So well. I mean, for me, there were times where it did become a little tedious when there was it dragged on for so long. But generally, I think it was a very important thing to have.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And she played it very well. So I just wanted to ask you, because you're studying psychology, I keep bringing this up, but also because mental health is like a big, you know, obviously it's a big issue for a lot of people, and something that you feel strongly about, and as do I. But I just wondered what your opinion on the storyline was, especially how Abby dealt with the situation. Mm. Like, you could say, there are some who will say, yeah, she was right to be so angry at her mother.
Yeah.
But then also people who say, well, it's not her fault, she was really ill.
Yeah.
So I don't know, where do you stand on that?
I don't really stand on either side. I think it's somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously it just wouldn't be fair to just blame Maggie for everything. Yeah. Seeing as that's part of the disorder. Like, obviously, if she's not taking her medication and if she's having an episode, it's not like she's going to be thinking rationally or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can understand how difficult it would be looking after someone, and also the frustration you might feel if they are just not taking their medication.
Yeah.
There must be some level of frustration of like, come on, like, you know you need to take it. And, you know, the fact that when she doesn't take it, she's just kind of almost expecting Abby to just help her again and again. Yeah. I can understand the frustration. So I think it's a bit of both, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't blame Maggie for everything because obviously she's ill. But at the same time, I don't think Abby is like 100% unjustified in feeling frustrated.
Yeah.
And if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And also, there are times when Maggie says, oh, I feel terrible about putting all this on you. You're my daughter and you've had to put up with so much. But then at times when she is in a manic episode, she can be very like, there's that moment where Abby, you know, decides to have her sectioned because she can't take responsibility for herself.
Yeah.
And she basically, she goes mad and resists, and then she screams at Abby, you're my daughter, you little bitch.
Yeah.
You know, so there's times where it's almost like she can appear unsympathetic to it, but obviously because she's so ill, that's what's driving it. But it can be difficult, especially I'd say with bipolar, even more so than maybe other illnesses like depression or something else, because it's based on extreme mood swings.
Yeah.
You would never know where you stand with somebody. Their behavior can change so rapidly.
Yeah.
That would be quite difficult to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I suppose, you know, the reason Maggie hasn't been taking medication is because she probably thinks she feels okay as a result of the medication, but she thinks that proves that there's nothing wrong with her. She doesn't need the medication. And that's when she spirals out of control again.
Yeah.
She probably thinks, I have it together. You know, I'm not sick. I don't need this. Even though deep down she does realise she's sick.
Yeah.
But it's when she's doing so well that she probably thinks, I don't actually need this. Yeah. And that's when things go downhill again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was very well played because you did see it from both perspectives.
Yeah.
You felt sorry for her because you saw how she felt about it, especially when Eric, the brother, was diagnosed. Maggie was like, well, you know, he's doing this because of the illness. Like, she understands.
Mm-hmm.
But Abby almost feels like the two of you are ganging up on me and pushing me away for not understanding what this is like.
Yeah.
So there's a whole other situation there.
Yeah.
But I think on the whole, it was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the parent-child relationships in ER, I think that one really stands out.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. For the way it was done. It was really good. And Abby was such a well-written character as a result of all of this stuff that happened in her life. And obviously when you have really good actors playing it, you know, it works out really well.
Yeah.
You really believe in what's happening. So yeah, that's a very interesting storyline. Now, we did see some others, just to briefly mention Jing Mei, or Deb as Carter always called her. She has very strict Chinese parents, and we see this come into play later on, mm-hmm. after she gets pregnant, and she really delays telling them about her pregnancy because the baby's father is black and she thinks they will be, you know, unhappy about that. So they do eventually find out, but then of course she gives the baby up for adoption. And that was one of the factors, but I think that's a whole other thing. She probably doubts her own ability to be a parent as a result of the complicated relationship she has with her own parents.
Yeah.
Then her mother dies later on and her father ends up, there's another dementia storyline there. Yeah. She's struggling to care for him, and that, and then after he dies, you know, she leaves the show. But that was another complicated relationship. Neela's parents as well were in it briefly, but that again gave an insight into her character.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were frustrated with how she wasn't sure if she really wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And whether she was just doing it for them or for herself. And ultimately she did find a fulfilling career as a surgeon.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's really struggling to decide what to do with her life. And when she tells them she's not planning on going through with her internship, they're really disappointed and they basically accuse her of not having the drive to succeed.
Yeah.
So that's quite sad as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think ER did this stuff so well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like everyone had really conflicting relationships with their parents because that's drama for you.
Yeah.
But I think the ones we did see were very well done.
Yeah.
And of course we saw other people's parents briefly too, but those are the main ones that come to mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've really enjoyed this particular topic. I don't know about you.
No, I have. It's very interesting to talk about.
I mean, thanks to Hannah B for recommending
definitely,
it.
Definitely,
I think we would have covered it at some point because I was thinking about it, but definitely when you mentioned it, I thought, yeah, we do have to really do this at some point.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting element of the show to look at. So we'll have lots more interesting discussions coming up in the future, including I'm not actually sure when we'll do this one, but we will definitely do it, and there has been some interest in it. I mentioned that we would do a quite in-depth character studies, but I think we should definitely do Romano in detail at some point.
Yes.
There's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
Or even generally characters that, you know, you love to hate, but he's definitely top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen so much discussion about him as a character. And we actually got an email a while ago from one of our listeners, Phil. Hi, Phil, who is not on Twitter, but he wanted to let us know that Romano is one of his favourite characters. And, you know, I think we should definitely do an episode on him at some point.
Yeah.
Because there is so much to say. So much.
Definitely, yeah.
So, yeah, I have got a few ideas for future episodes. So we'll let you know when that one's on the way. So thanks for listening again. And as always, let us know what you think on Twitter at ExaminingER or Facebook. We have a Facebook page now.
I didn't even know
that. Yes, because as I said, Phil is not on Twitter. And he wanted to know if we had a Facebook page or group or something. So I was like, well, I think we should set one up.
Yeah.
So if any of you guys are on Facebook, you can find us there too. Just search ExaminingER and we will be there.
Yes.
So Twitter, Facebook, God, I must update the outro actually with those details. And of course, you're probably listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts, or our website, examiningerpodcast.com. So thanks for listening and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Examining ER is produced by Sarah Stacey. If you like what you hear, why not subscribe or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts? You can also listen via our website, examiningerpodcast.com, or tweet us at examiningerpodcast.